This is Julian Clover.
Community radio in your city. Cambridge 105.
A new report is looking into inequalities in the health system in Cambridge. There's also a meeting tonight to discuss all of that in the city. We'll tell you about that in a few moments' time. But first, let's speak to Tony Jewell. He's a former chief medical officer for Wales, also a one-time public health commissioner for Cambridgeshire. Tony, welcome to Cambridge 105.
Thank you very much.
So tell me a little bit about what this report shows. It's straightforward, I suppose, to a certain extent, but the poor, for all sorts of reasons, end up losing out when it comes to healthcare and the provision of all sorts of services.
Yeah.
But is there anything in particular about Cambridge, which means they're losing out more than they might in other parts of the country?
Yeah, thank you very much. So this report is called the Cambridge Health Gap, and it's launched tonight at 7 o'clock at the Friends Meeting Rooms in Jesus Lane. It's written actually by Naren Jones and Stuart Weir, and it's part of the Cambridge Fairness Reviews, so it's part of a series.
And I've had Stuart in on the programme talking about those in past weeks, past programmes.
That's right. So but the focus on this report is about health, and one of the issues is why are health inequalities continuing to exist in somewhere like Cambridge that's expanding, economically developing, new industries, research, income, etc. So why can't we do something about health inequalities in Cambridge? And they appear to be very resilient. For example, still in Cambridge, there is something like a 11-year gap between wards in Cambridge in terms of life expectancy. So that means people are dying 11 years younger in some parts of Cambridge City than other parts of Cambridge City.
And one would assume that's the poorer areas, of course, the Abbeys and the Arbouries, as opposed to the Newnhams of this world.
Exactly. So there's a kind of northeast Cambridge versus the rest. And when I was Director of Public Health locally here, about 10, 15 years ago, this existed then. So the question is, the Cambridge phenomenon, all this investment, the population growth, we should be trying to do something about inequalities because it's unfair. And actually, it's better if we live in a healthier and fairer society.
Because somebody's healthier, and there's less chance of them going to the doctor in the first place. So instead, as was suggested, I think, this morning, instead of people being crossed off the list because they haven't turned up at a doctor's for five years, there might be other ways to reduce the NHS budget locally.
Yes, absolutely. But I mean, I think this report is focusing what's sometimes referred to as social determinants of health. So that's things like housing, employment, child poverty and things like that, which affect health, and things like that the health service itself can't actually change. Mm. But a proper strategy with local government, the university, private sector could try and have reducing inequalities as part of their strategic aim for the future.
I wonder if that's part of the problem, really, that nobody knows, or even if they do, they pass it on to somebody else as to who actually gets to deal with it, because it's the job of the local health authorities to keep people healthy and give them health care when they need it. It's not their job to give them decent housing. That falls at somebody else's door.
Exactly, and that's been one of the issues with inequalities, is you need to have a strategy that engages people with housing, transport, employment, as well as health services. And that's the essence of this report, actually. They're saying that there's a fantastic opportunity for Cambridge with this growth and investment to actually share it about, make sure we become a fairer Cambridge rather than an unequal Cambridge.
Mm. I wonder if we go back to the 10 years ago when you were responsible as, or overseeing things at least, for Cambridgeshire. Has the circumstances changed in any way? Has anything got worse, got better?
Well, I think we have been through so-called austerity, and I think that's meant the local government, whether it's the county or the city council, have had cuts, and these cuts affect important services. So, for example, children's centres have been reduced, and we know from all the reports on inequalities, you need to give kids a good start in life, and that means really through pregnancy and early years, preschool, and things like children's centres.
But we're told that the doing so-called austerity Britain, The voluntary sector is supposed to pick up on these things. And on this particular radio station, so often we get people coming through the doors from one organisation helping this group or or that group. It doesn't seem to be for a shortage of organisations to help. No. So what's the problem?
Well, I think the issue is you need to have more than voluntary sector investment. So, for example, parts of Cambridge, one in four children are growing up in poverty. And that is not good for a good start in life. The countries in Europe where we see greater equity and inequality are places like Denmark or Scandinavia. Mm. And they invest heavily in early years. So, you know, paternity leave, maternity leave, facilities for preschool support.
Well, we've families. Seen, I think, certainly through the Blair years and beyond, there was an introduction of more help for nursery care and nursery places, yes, for example.
Exactly. And, you know, child poverty was reduced in the period 1998 to 2010. But and there was a commitment to eradicate child poverty by 2020, and that's now stalling. And the thing about inequalities is you have to be long-term and you have to be absolutely consistent. You can't keep chopping and changing. And I think one of the challenges in Cambridge that we highlight is fuel poverty, older people especially, and that relates to the housing. There's a lot of older housing in Cambridge, much of it lived in by older people, and you know, it costs them a lot to heat in the winter, and fuel poverty is one of the drivers for health inequalities.
Mm, I guess everything adds in. So the meeting tonight, which I know you're taking part in yourself, who else is going to be speaking alongside you?
Yeah, Julian Hubbard is speaking, as well as one of the other supporters of this report, Stuart Tupwood. Mm. And it's at the Friends meeting rooms in Jesus Lane, 7 o'clock. It's free. The report is being launched at that meeting. And it's a good report, well worth reading. It's evidence-based.
And I've had a quick sneak. I haven't read the whole entire thing, but I've had a look. And
I think living in Cambridge, you know, looking at all the new housing developments and so on, the thing about affordability in housing, I think, is a key issue. And the idea of getting affordable housing for young people. So we've got issues to do with child poverty. We've got issues to do with employment of young people. We've got affordable housing, and we've got fuel poverty in older people.
It's strange, isn't it? Because at the beginning of the week, we were talking about Arm Holdings being sold to SoftBank for 24 billion pounds.
Billion, exactly.
Yet we have this problem here, and you kind of think to yourself, well, you know, if only a little bit more tax could be raised locally at the discretion of local authorities.
Exactly, and that's exactly what I mean about the economic growth in Cambridge and the population growth. There's a fantastic opportunity to turn it around, because, you know, I know that this sort of inequality existed in my time when I was in public health in this area. It's still going, and it's terrible that it's still going at the same time that Cambridge is expanding, a 7% growth per annum. This is the opportunity for everyone to get together and have a fairer Cambridge.
Yeah. Was there anything you could have done yourself 10 years ago, if only it was just banging heads together of some of the people who held the purse strings at the time?
Well, yes. I mean, we identified the problem. I think the issue is that there's been no shortage of analysis of what the problem is. And indeed, since the Marmot report in 2010, no shortage of strategies for getting out of it. But what it means is that across the board, whether it's national government, local business, voluntary sector, people themselves and the NHS, need to join up to have a long-term strategy that doesn't chop and change. One of the things I learnt is that places like Sweden, they have a public health strategy that the parties in power don't change from. There's a kind of national commitment to do it. So you don't suddenly say child poverty is no longer of interest to us, because you have to. If you are a child, you won't see the benefit of that until they're at least 20. So this is a long-term venture. All we are saying, I think, is that Cambridge has a fantastic opportunity with growth to be different, to be healthier and fairer Cambridge.
Well, Tony, thank you very much. Fascinating report. But just quickly remind us as to where that meeting's taking place, if anybody does want to go along.
This is the Friends meeting rooms in Jesus Lane, 7 o'clock tonight, free.
That's great. Thank you very much. It's Tony Jewell, former Chief Medical Officer for Wales and also Public Health Commissioner in Cambridge as well. It is 5:43.